The Gemara says in the first parak in Kiddushin, Rab, Makas Mardis, if a boy would elope with a girl without first getting engaged, Rab Mangin Aman de Mekadesh Belo Sheiduche. Today, the people get engaged, and then they get married later. So you don't need officially Tinoim. Tinoim is the old document of Tinoim was practiced both by the Ashkenazim and by the Svardim. That the girl's father and the boy's father would both promise the other party that they were going to get married by a certain date, not later than a certain date. And if some party backs out from the shidduch, they're going to pay a penalty. So this was a big discussion, both by Ashkenazim and by Svardim. Shouldn't this be considered asmachta lo kanya? They would write an exorbitant amount of money, an exaggerated amount of money. And it was clear that they were, boy and the girl liked each other, the parents liked each other, whoever was making the decision to get married. It was clear that they thought they're not going to back out from the shidduch. So why shouldn't you say asmach talakani? So the Rishonim explained why it's legally binding. But today that they're engaged already, they don't have to have tanoim. Today that they're engaged and then they get married. So you don't need tanoim. So some people insist you make tanoim right before the chuppah. It doesn't really make too much sense. Just if you need another three kibbutim, so someone, we have two people to sign the Tanoim, one person to read the Tanoim. So that's maybe why they do it today. Really, when you make Tanoim, you're supposed to have two copies of the document. You're supposed to give one copy to the girl's father, one copy to the boy's father. It does make sense to make one copy, and then whom do you give it to? You're supposed to make two. There are two parts to the marriage ceremony. There's the Eris and then the Nisuin. Arusa is Erisin is Kiddushin. The three ways to make Kiddushin, either Kesef Shtar or Bia. The Gemara says Rav gave Makas Mardis, the one who would be Mekadosh B'Bia. So he only left but two possibilities of Kesef or Shtar. The Rambam writes in the beginning of Hilchas Ishus, he understood the Gemara as saying that Kiddushay Kesef is Torah Shebal Peh. The Rei Seferim and Kiddushay Shtar is Torah Shebichzav. And the Rambam sounds like he says, because Kiddushi Kesef is Torah Shebal Peh, and the Karoim never believed in it, so that's why we go out of our way, Bidavke, to show that we are not from the Kata Karoim, so we chose Davke to do Kiddushi Kesef. The same as the Rambam writes in Hilchas Milo, that Mikaret Din, you can perform Bris Milo with a scissors or with a knife, or with anything that's sharp, and the meaning by the Orthodox Jews is that we Davke don't use a scissors, we use a knife, and Professor Simcha Asaf, who wrote a lot on the Karoim, writes that he thinks that the Rambam is saying this against the Karoim. The Karoim insisted that you have to perform a bris mila with a scissor, because the pasuk in Yeshua says, "Kach locha charbosurim, shuv melas bnei sol shenis." You have to take a scissors, charbosurim, two knives that cut one against the other. So because the Karoim never believed in kedusha kesef, so that's why we go out of our way, dafke, to use Kiddushi Kesef. And because the Karoim insisted that you have to do a bris milah dafke with scissors, that's why we dafke don't use the scissors. We use dafke a knife. Even though maybe it would have been easier to use the scissors. Same thing, Cholent, the Baal HaMoor writes in Masechus Shabbos in Perek Hira, the Magen Avraham quotes the Baal HaMoor, that the Karoim used to have a practice, the Svar Reish B'chol Mashvasech and B'Yom HaShabbos, they didn't allow any fires in the house at all. So they would sit in the dark on Friday night. So some claim that the bracha on hadlokas neres Shabbos was introduced in the days of the Gaonim with their as part of their fight against the Karoim, because we don't really have earlier sources for the bracha on hadlokas neres Shabbos and Tosfos Yestakasha. Why do you say bracha on hadlokas neres Shabbos? Why don't you say a bracha before you take a shower, before you vacuum the rug, before you set the table, before you put up the cholin? You do some of the other hachonis l'kvod Shabbos. Why these are only a bracha and Adlokas Hanir. So Tosfos quotes the Rabbi Natan, but some of the history books suggest that it was introduced by the Goyim in the fight against the Karoim. Okay, so the same as Cholent, eating Cholent is because the Karoim would always eat cold food on Shabbos morning. Friday night the food was still warm. Shabbos morning the food was cold. So the Baal HaMoor coined this expression that whoever doesn't eat Cham in B'Shabbos, Torach B'dika Achrav, you have to check maybe he's an Apikur. So our minig is that we choose Kiddushi Kesef. Then it says our minig is we don't even use Kesef, we use Davke Shove Kesef. We use a ring. Shabbat Kesef is Torah Shabbat Peh on top of Torah Shabbat Peh. That's the discussion in the first daf and the first mission in Kiddushin, Taisus, and the other Mishnayim have. How do you know that Shabbat Kesef is Kikesef? Maybe you need daf Kikesef, but the Mishnah says that Shabbat Kesef is good. Eidi Kiddushin is Ma'akei B'di'evet. The Eidim have to be Kosher Eidim. Kosher Eidim, they can't be Karev and they can't be Rosha. Rosha means a person who cheats in business, a person who's a ganef, is posleitis, cheats on income tax. Strictly speaking, anyone who cheats on income tax is posleitis. But the Gemara says that if there's a minig amokim, that everybody cheats a little bit, even though they know that it's aser, that's called ganef nisim, a ganef tishrei. In certain seasons of the year, if you work on a farm, so because they were handling, the workers were handling so many bushels of grain and so many bushels of fruits and vegetables, so they would always take some for themselves. They knew it was Geneva, but that's called Ganav Nisim, Ganav Tishrei. So since everybody's Meir Heter, so it doesn't pass a later. So if a person cheats a little bit on income tax, even though he knows that it's Osir, so I'd say that he's pass a later. So if he's a major Ganav, then how can you say he's Meir Heter? What, everybody does it? Not everybody does it. I remember I was once at a wedding. The boy learned here in the Koilo, then he learned in Lakewood. He married a girl from the Aguda circles. All the kibbutzim was split in half. So to see Kiddushin, you can't split in half. So he was Machabed, Reb Shneur Kotler was Masadi Kiddushin. Then the Eidi Kiddushin, he called me up, and he called up someone from Borough Park. So the guy was there, and he didn't go up. So Rabbi Herschel Schechter happened, Zichrono Levracha, one who passed away, happened to be standing next to him. So he said, they called you up to be one of the Eidim. So he said, they can get another Eid. And he didn't go up. They called him a few times, didn't go up. So they got someone else. So a few days later, we all knew why. At the time, we didn't know why. He was his picture was in the newspaper, in the first page of the New York Times. He was indicted because of his fake lunch programs that he had at his yeshiva. He was taking money from the government, big neighbor. So he was an El Chagan, if he knew he was posulitis. So he didn't go. The Eidim have to be kosher Eidim. They can't be Ganovim. And they can't be Kroivim. Exactly what is Kroivim? So just last night, somebody had listened to a shiur on why you Torah shiurim, and the fellow's married 5 years, 10 years, and he has 5 children already. He just came to the realization that the Eidim at his wedding were not kosher. He was listening to a shiur. He asked the Masada Kiddushin whether his cousin's husband is kosher Eidus. So the Masada Kiddushin said, as long as it's not a blood relative, it's okay. That is absolutely not correct. The din is that 2 brothers are considered Rishon Barishon. If you have 2 sisters and they're both married, that's called Rishon Barishon with 2 Balki Ishtais. So that's Pasul Leidus. Brothers-in-law with 2 Balki Ishtais. There are more quotes to Ramban, that's only Pasul with the Rabban, but still it's Pasul Leidus. Then if you have the 2 brothers have children, that's first cousins are called Sheni Bisheni. So Sheni Bisheni is Pasul Leidus. If one of the cousins is a boy, one is a girl, and the girl is married, so that's Sheni B'Sheni with 1 Balki Ishtai. So that's also a Pasulaitis. If the 2 cousins are girls, first cousins are girls and they're both married, that's Sheni B'Sheni with 2 Balki Ishtai, that's Kosheleitis. You don't say Balki Ishtai twice on the level of Sheni B'Sheni. If you have, let's say, an aunt and a niece, and they're both married, and you have the uncle by marriage and the nephew by marriage, so that's Rishon B'Sheni, so that's a Machlokes, the Balamor and the Ramban. 2 opinions in Mechaber and Shulchan Aruch, whether by Rishon B'Sheni, whether you say Balki Ishtai twice or you only say once. If you have second cousins, the first cousins have children, that's second cousins, that's Shlishi B'Shlishi, that's Kosher Leidus, strictly speaking. And if they have children, that's called Revi B'Revi, third cousins, it's called Revi B'Revi, so that's for sure Kosher Leidus. The minig is that you don't even have a Revi B'Revi with 2 Balki Ishtais. The minig is, you don't even have, it depends who else is there at the wedding. If all the other people at the wedding are non-observant and the only religious people are Revi with 2 Balki Ishtais, then you do have. But we avoid that, l'chatchila. But Meikir Adin, people often, I remember there was a boy who came, he used to function as a rabbi in London, and he was Masada Kedushin many times, and then he came to the yeshiva, he learned the smicha, here we got another smicha, and then it happened that year in the Kerala we were learning Sanhedrin, we're learning the 3rd parak about the Kroivim Sulim Leis. So he said, wow, we just discovered that all of the marriages that he performed were not valid, because he used to have, the Balabatim were not the observant, so he and his brother-in-law used to be the Eidi Kiddushin. He didn't know that the brother-in-law is a postulator. A brother-in-law is a Rishon B'Rishon with 1 Balki Ishtai, with 2 Balki Ishtais, whatever it is. that's posulei. There's not only blood relatives. There's a din of bal kiyushta b'negiyah to psulieidus. So the edi kedusha na liyikuva. That's a gemara kedusha. Edi kedusha na liyikuva.
What if you have two people who are going to become brothers-in-law? In other words, you know that they're going to be married and they will be brothers-in-law, but they're not brothers-in-law right now.
And not now that they get. No, they're kosher ladies. As long as now they're kosher ladies, it's not a problem. So Eidah Kiddushin, that's Li'ikuvah. The Gemara says that's what we call Eidah L'kiyam Adover. The Gemara doesn't have that expression. Eidah L'kiyam Adover is Li'ikuvah. The Eidah shouldn't be Kroivim and it shouldn't be Rishoyim. It shouldn't be Psuliyah. Bichas Erisin is not Mi'akev. If you got married, you didn't say Bichas Erisin is not Mi'akev. The Chatril is supposed to recite Bichas Erisin. There is a major Machlokes of Rishoyim. What is the nature of Bichas Erisin? Is it a Bichas HaMitzvah? So it should be recited Oyvel Asiyosam. That's how the Rambam writes. And if Nechosan already gave the ring to the Kala and he said, Haret Mekudeshusli, they're married already. So the Rambam's opinion is that you cannot say the Bracha L'Acher Asiyosam, Ashenase Kranase. The Rambam writes, you can never recite the Bracha L'Acher Asiyosam. We don't really hold like the Rambam as far as that's concerned. A lot of times we wash until Siddhaim and say the Bracha afterwards. Should have been Oyvel Asiyosam. So we're not so, we're not women benchlicht and they say the Bracha L'Acher Asiyosam. We're not so, not always so medactic on the Oyvel Asiyosam. But there's a major machlekes over here. Taisa's opinion is that the Birchas Harrison should be recited B'davke after the Kiddushin. Taisa's Himsachem and Dav Zayin on the Gemara of B'dikas Chometz. What Bracha do you say when you buy the Chometz? So the Taisa is of the opinion that Birchas Harrison is not at all a Birchas HaMitzvah. So Bichas HaShevach, we don't say Asher Kedushanu B'mitzvah Yisab B'tzivanu L'Kadesh Yisar Yisho. We say a long drawn out bracha, so the Tosfos seems all a different kind of a Bichas HaMitzvah. We start off Asher Kedushanu B'mitzvah Yisab B'tzivanu Al Ha'arayas V'asolanam Sarusayas. It's a complicated bracha. So it sounds like it's not 100% Bichas HaMitzvah, it's a lot of Bichas HaShevach. We praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he gave the Jewish people the institution of Jewish marriage and so on. So Tosfos' opinion is that the bracha should bedavke be recited la'achar asiyosam. We don't follow that. We say lechatchila the bracha should be recited oyvel asiyosam, like the Rambam. We treat it like a birchas hamitzvah. But the evidence if a person forgot to say the bracha before, mistama we would say you can say the bracha afterwards, like Tosfos and like the Oz HaRuah, that every birchas hamitzvah but the evidence can be recited la'achar asiyosam. Remember one summer Rabbi Goldberg came over in the summertime with his whole group of boys. They were learning Kiddushin in the summertime. And so they asked me to give a shiur for them. And then there was a big Talmid Chacham down the road from me in the mountains. So I asked him also should give a shiur. So he told over an incident. He's older than me, 15 years older than me. So he was telling over an incident that the first time he was Masada Kiddushin, he was so nervous, he forgot to say the Birchas Harrison before the chassan said, he told the chassan, say, Hariyat Mekudash Yisrael, and gave the ring. And then he realized it didn't say the Birchas Harrison. So he gave a whole shiur on this topic. That why b'di'evad you would be able to say the Birchas Harrison after the Kiddushin. Yeah. Birchas Harrison l'chatchili need a minion, but b'shas atchaka, if a minion is not available, you can do Kiddushin without a minion. Yeah, who has the right to choose the Masada Kiddushin? What is the whole institution of Masada Kiddushin? The Gemara says, Mishenei Dei B'tiv Kiddushin, Lo Yehelo Esek Imohem. So Rashi in the beginning of Gittin, all this is quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Rashi, beginning of Gittin, understood this to be a takana from the later Amoraim. In the earlier generations, it didn't exist. In the days of the late Amoraim, made such a takana that you need a special dayan who is memuna ala Gittin, or a special dayan who is memuna on Kiddushin. So that's in Shulchan Aruch. They said he used to give separate smicha. A person has smicha, he's right to do Siddi Kiddushin, he's right to be Masada Raget. So he's supposed to pick a person who's very knowledgeable. That's why you look in the Yeshiva's learning Ksubas this year, you look in the Yom Shel Shleima on Ksubas, at the first paragraph, he quotes a long passage from the Oz HaRuah, who talks about this, the institution of Masada Kiddushin, Masada Raget, should be a person who's very knowledgeable in Halacha, not that he knows a lot of Gemaras. He has to be knowledgeable in Halacha, how to Paskin, to supervise the Kiddushin, to supervise the Gerushin. And in Shulchan Aruch, they quote in Hilchas Gittin that the Siddur HaGet should be Bayom. L'chatchila we treat it as if it's a Bezen, it should be Bayom. And the Siddur HaGet should the L'chatchila not be related to the husband or to the wife. Like a Dayan, because Rashi writes in the beginning of Gittin that you need a dying to be Mimunah. So really, the original source of all of this equates Kiddushin with Gittin. So the Kiddushin should also be Bayom. See, the Kiddushin should be Bayom. So the Kiddushin should not be related to the Chasan or to the Kal. And the Shulchan Aruch, they only quoted all these Chumras in Hilchas Gittin. They didn't quote it in Hilchas Kiddushin. So the Knesset HaGdolah functioned as a rabbi in Constantinople. So he writes, when he was appointed rabbi there, they had this strange practice of having weddings at night. You never heard of that before, weddings at night. It's against halacha. It's supposed to be machmet to treat Masada Kiddushin. Should be like a dayan, and there's no bezin balayla. So he reversed the minig, and he insisted they should do the Kiddushin bayom. Masada Kiddushin should not be related to the chosin of the kalam. Many are mekal on this. Look, if the wedding is bayom, l'chatchil should have a wedding bayom. In the wintertime, in the weekdays, it's very hard to have a wedding bayom. The shki is so early. How can you have a wedding bayom? So if the wedding is balayla ben kovako, so you can have the Masada Kiddushin, can be a relative. But if you're going to have the wedding bayom, so more correct is you should avoid having the Masada Kiddushin be related to the chosin kal. Then you have two stages. You have Erisin, then you have Nisun. So the Erisin, our practices, we use Shavu Kesef. The Arusas are Eshu Sish, the Beis HaBaal, and the Nisua, by definition, is an Eshu Sish, the Beis HaBaal. How does one accomplish Nisun? So you do Hachnosa L'Rishuso. How do you do Hachnosa L'Rishuso? So there are different opinions. That's the Ran on the first page of Nirith, page Aleph Amar Aleph. The Ran discusses in Ksubis, how do you do Nisun? So he says, the Ramam's opinion is that the only way to do Nisun is either Bia L'Shem Nisun, or Yichud Haroi Labia. That accomplishes Nisun. The Ran disagrees. He shows there's a Gemara later in the first parak on Daf Yud Beis that contradicts the Rambam. Murder is Kasha. So he disagrees. So what is Nisun? So in the end of Yeridaya, in Hilchos Avelos, they quote the Mordechai in the first parak in Ksubasa says that the Badekin is the Nisun. That the Chosin should cover the Kala's face with a Tichol, that's the Nisun. And certain parts of Europe, the Dogel Mervava are the comments of the Nerev Yehuda on the side of the page on the Shulchan Aruch. So the Dogel Mervava there at the end of Hilchos Avelos writes that in certain areas in Europe, the minig was that the Chosin didn't do the Badekin at all. The Chosin didn't even go to the Badekin. Still now, some of the Chosin, the Chosin doesn't go to the Badekin. All the Rabbonim go, they do the Badekin. So if the Badekin is the Nisuin, how can the Rabbonim do it? So the Dogel Mervava writes, it's understood that they're functioning as shluchim of the chosin. Chosin is implicitly asking them to please act on his behalf to do the nisuin. This is questionable. Rabbi Soloveitchik raised the question, is that legitimate? Not everything lends itself to shlichus, and maybe nisuin is such a thing that doesn't lend itself to shlichus. So that's a question. Okay, that is a question. There is a question whether you need eidus lekeim adover by nisuin. You know that you need eidus lekeim adover by Kiddushin. Do you require Eidus L'Kem Adavah for Nisuin? Whatever Nisuin is, if Nisuin is Yichud, or if Nisuin is Badekin, is it necessary to have Eidus L'Kem Adavah for Nisuin? One who raises that question is the Or Sameach and the Rambam in Perek Yud and Hilchos Ishus, and in the Sefer Marcheshes. Marcheshes was a Reb Henoch Egish, was a Dayan in Vilna, same time as Reb Chaim Moshe. He was older than Reb Chaim Moshe, and he outlived him. He learned by the Beis HaLevi. He writes, he learned the old school. He learned by the Beis HaLevi, the old style. He says, he writes in the introduction, he doesn't know about this new style of learning, the analysis and breaking everything down to its component part. He doesn't know about this, but a lot of times he has the same style as everybody else. So he thinks that this is a machlekes, the Rambam and the Ravid, where they need Eidus L'Kem Adavah for Nisun, whether there is such a thing as Eidus Yichud. Do you really need Eidus Yichud or not? So it seems to be a machlekes HaRishayim. So Rav Soloveitchik was always machmir, you should require Eidus L'Kem Adavah for Nisun also, even though he himself published an essay when he wrote up the hesped that he delivered when his uncle Rav Avla Soloveitchik passed away. So he has a long footnote there regarding this, but it's necessary to have Eidus L'Kem Adavah by Nisun. So based on what he wrote there, he really shouldn't require it, but he said in his family the practice was that they were machmer to require Eidus L'Kem Adavah for Nisun. The Nachmal said there are different opinions what constitutes Nisun. So one opinion is Badekin, so the Chosin does the Badekin himself. He shouldn't rely on a Shlich. The other opinion is the Yichud. Yeah, but we don't really hold the Badekin, we don't really hold the Yichud. We hold that standing under the canopy is the Nisuin. Why does that accomplish Nisuin? So Eizem Mikodesh is a commentary by the Buchacha Rab that's printed on the page in the big Lemberger edition of the Shulchan Aruch. That's the standard edition that everybody uses on Eben Ezra's from Lemberg. So Ez Mikodesh was a Rav in Buchoch, that's a city in Galicia. So he thinks that the standing under the chuppah constitutes hachnoso shusai, because the chuppah is considered a tzuras ha-pesach, like an erev for purposes of Shabbos. So an erev is considered a mechitza, so you have a square with four mechitzas around it. So the chas and kala walk into that room. You can have other people in the room also, but it's considered as if they walked into a room specially. It's not yichud. It's not yichud. A royal beer, that's for sure not. There are a lot of people there. But it's considered as if it's hachnasa lirshusoy. The Vilna Gaon thinks that more correct is when they go home. When the chas and kala go home, that's the hachnasa lirshusoy. That's what Chacham Avadya writes. He thinks that the real nisuin is when they go home. Or the Vilna Gaon suggests maybe that's the reason why the minig used to be in Europe that they would get married by Chatzar Beis HaKnesses in the courtyard in front of the shul, which belonged to the Jewish community. So it was self-understood that when a chassan wants to get married, they're makne the courtyard to the chassan, like you have a talis shel tzibur. So talis shel tzibur, whoever gets an aliyah, whoever wants to daven with the talis has a broch on it, because it's understood that the tzibur is makne to that person when he needs it. So the same thing in esrog shel tzibur. When you pick it up, so the tzibur wants to be makne to you, because you can't be yotze the mitzvah if it's an esrog shel shutfin. So over here also the Vilna Gaon thinks that maybe that's the reason why they got married. B'chatzar Beis HaKnesses, there would be makna the chatzar to the chassan, so it would be considered hachnasa lirushuso. So we do all of these different forms of nisuin. Then years ago, the Gemara has a lashon kimish et piris taliso aleho, or forasta kanafecho ala masecho. In Megillas Rus it says that they're going to get married. And the Gemara comments on the pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim. So the Gemara says bevigdei bo is really meloshem begido. He didn't do right. The other didn't do right by not being miyayid the girl. But the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation. Bevigdei bo kim shepiris talisa aleha. Since the father married off his daughter with nisun, so piris talisa aleha is the same as farasta kanafecha lama secha. So that's why by Svardim and by Yekis they had such a meaning that they put a talus on top of the chos and kala's head. So many do many forms of nisun.
The Gra thinks that the chos has to own the place where they do the nisun.
I don't know. The Gemara says Beferish and Ksubas, he doesn't have to own the location. The Gemara says if they already have Erisin, then he takes the girl into his home. Stoma, we assume that that's hachnasa l'mshusa l'shem nisun. If they go into her home, Stoma, it's not assumed to be nisun unless they said so explicitly. Unless they told the witnesses, we're going to go into her home l'shem nisun. Mistama, he means that if it's his home, then mistama it's l'shem nisun. I don't know. I'm not sure. That is a major problem. How can you have? We always have the Badekin before we have the Kiddushin. So there is a Mishnah LaMelech commentary in the bottom of the Rambam in Perek Yud and Hilchos Ishus, where the Rambam starts the Dinim of Nisuin. And the Mishnah LaMelech quotes a Tshuvas Rashi quoted by the Mordechai that it's possible to have Nisuin before Erisin. If you had Nisuin before Erisin, so the Nisuin is Chal, and then there's no need to repeat it later on. All you have to do later on is repeat the Erisin. So that's what this is based on. If we assume the Badekan is the Nisuin, so nothing took effect yet. She's not even married yet. Normally, a single girl has Erisin, she becomes an Eish Yisish, she'll love Beis Abbal. Then she has Nisuin, she goes another step. She becomes an Eish Yisish, Beis Abbal. Here, if you do Nisuin before Erisin, nothing took effect. But then, if and when you'll do Erisin, then you jump two steps in one. From being a Pnuya, she will become an Eish Yisish, Beis Abbal. I'm two steps in one. So that's based on the Tshuvas Rashi that the Mishnah Melech quotes, that it's possible if you did Nisuin before Erisin, then all you have to do later is have the Erisin. So the Gemara says in the first Perek in Ksubas that to recite the Birchas Nisuin you require a minyan. We assume Shulchan Aruch the minyan is Likuva. If you don't have a minyan, you cannot recite Birchas Nisuin. The question is, when the Gemara says Kala b'loy brocha asura l'bayla k'nida, is that to be taken literally b'loy brocha? So if you don't have a minion, you can't say the brocha. So the Gemara is going to be asura l'bayla. Or do you say no? Kala b'loy brocha is a melitza. It doesn't mean b'loy brocha. It means Kala b'loy nisuin. He'll do the nisuin. Maybe you'll have two aiden. Maybe you don't even need two aiden for nisuin. So Kala b'loy brocha. Maybe the brocha is not meyakev. Just like the birchas erusin is not meyakev. So maybe the birchas nisuin is also not meyakev. If you have a minion, you'll say the birchas nisuin. You don't have a minion, the din nisuin with that. So that's a machlekes and Ebenezer. Machlekes achreidim. That's the question. Well, if a person is on a desert island, and he has two edim, so he can marry a girl, has two edim kshem to marry a girl, and he doesn't have 10 people, so he can't do nisuin, period. He's stuck. Can't do nisuin, so he can't get married. Okay. So that's machlekes achreinim. What do you do in such a case? Okay. That is a problem. The Gemara in the beginning of Perek Afalpi says, it raises a question, what's the din of Pirsa Nida Mahu? What's the question, Pirsa Nida Mahu? What's the question in the Gemara? So the Pashup Shat in the Gemara is that it's commenting on a Mishnah. The first Mishnah in Perek Afalpi says, we know there are three parts to the Ksuba. I'm going to talk about that, I think, tomorrow, this year, about Ksuba at 12 o'clock, downstairs, I think, in the second floor, in the Beis Medrash. There are three parts to a Ksuba. So there's Tosefes Ksuba. So the Mishnah says, if a man has Erisin, in the days of the Tanakh, in the days of the Gemara, till the days of the Goyim, there'll be a long pause between Erisin and Nisuin. The Goyim were the ones who decided that we should move up the Nisuin, have it immediately after the Erisin. But for many centuries, it was a long pause in between. So what if a couple only has Erisin, they don't have Nisuin, and the husband gave his wife a ksuba, and then the husband divorces his wife, or he dies during Erisin. So he has to pay the ksuba. Does he have to pay the Tosefes ksuba also? So the Mishnah quotes, the beginning of Perek Afalpi, the Mishnah quotes Rav Lozman Azariah, I think, who says that it's self-understood, even though he doesn't say so, it's self-understood, Shalak Kosov Law, El Al Manas Lakonso, Rav Lozman Azariah, on Nun Zayin Amibes, Nun Dalet Amibes, excuse me, that it's self-understood that the Tosefes is only given if he did Nisuin, and then he divorces or he dies. But if he dies or he gives her a get during Erisin, he only pays the Ikiksub, he doesn't pay the Tosefes. The Gemara has a Sofik, Pirsanida Mahu, and the next daf on the Nivok. What's the din? They had Nisuin, and then the Chasen died before he was Baaleha. What's the din? Rav Lozman Azari says it's psychological umdin, and like Kosov Law, he only intended to give a Tosefes. Amanas lekonso doesn't mean lekonso to do soon. It means lekonso means to live with her, to have issues together. So that's the psychological sophic in the Gemara. The Rambam learns a totally different shot in the Gemara. It has nothing to do with Rav Lozman Azari. The Gemara had a sophic. Is there a requirement that nisuin has to be chupa haroi labia? So the Gemara says, if pirsa nida, can you do nisuin? A sophic in the Gemara. So it's a sveik of the dina. It's a sveik of the dina, whether the nisuin is chal. So l'chatchila, the Rambam says you shouldn't do nisuin until the girl goes to mikveh. But if you did nisuin, and then she goes to mikveh 2 weeks later, you wouldn't repeat the birchas nisuin because maybe the nisuin is good the first time. It's a sveik of the dina in the Gemara. That's how the Rambam understood. So the son Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Rambam. That l'chatchila mechaba quotes the Rambam. L'chatchila shouldn't be mekadosh a girl. You shouldn't shtel a chupa if the girl is a nida, because chupas nida is a sveka de dina whether it's chal. Chupas nida is a chupa sheni roi labia min atorv. Then the Magen Mishnah quotes that there's a chupa sheni roi labia min the rabbana. When is that? The din is that there's a machlokes satanaim, Rav Meir, Rav Yehuda, in Perek Afalpi, and we paskin that also l'adam l'hashes sisishto shachas b'lo ksuba. If a couple is married and the wife doesn't have the ksuba, she doesn't have to have the ksuba with her all the time. She can leave the ksuba by her parents. She can leave the ksuba wherever she knows where it is, in the bedroom, whatever. She doesn't have to, if they're traveling to Europe, she doesn't have to take the ksuba with her all the time. That's a lot of people think the girl has to have the ksuba in her pocketbook all the time. That's a little ridiculous. She has to know where the ksuba is, that it's in a safe place. Or she gave it to her parents, and parents are holding on to the ksuba for her. But if the girl doesn't have a ksuba, then there's a takana mederabban. You're not allowed to live with your wife. In case the kala lost the ksubas, you have to write another ksuba. That's called the ksuba dir kasa. You have to write another ksuba because not allowed to live together if there is no ksuba. So there's a chupas in a real abim in a Torah. That's chupas nida. So lachatchila, you shouldn't perform, the chaverite shouldn't perform a chupas nida. Then there's a chupas in a real abim in the rabbanon. If you didn't give the kala the ksuba before the nisuin, so that's a chupas in a real abim. So you're supposed to write the ksuba and give it to the kala before you do the chupah. The rabbin, in the days of the Gaonim, that's when they introduced that you don't have a pause in between Eris and Isun. It used to be a year pause, or a month. There was always a long pause in between Eris and Isun. They moved it up. The reason why they moved it up, because they saw that there was preachers, the girls were being mizana, the woman is an Eshes Ish, and she's not living with her husband, and she's going to be mizana, with someone else, she's going to be Asura Bailo. So he said it's not smart, it's not a good idea to have a girl on Arusa and not in Nesua. She's married and she's not living with her husband, so it's not a safe idea. So they moved up to Nisuan right after the Erisin. So the Rabbeinu Tam Hagos Maimini on the Raman, Perek Yud and Hilchos Ishus, quotes that the Rabbeinu Tam introduced that you should have a pause in between the Erisin and the Nisuan. What should the pause consist of? So the Rambam says a chupish in a way would be is no good. Not only if she's a nida, it's in a way would be a minatar. If kala b'lay ksuba, that's a chupish in a way would be a midrabbanon. So you have to give the girl a ksuba before you do the chupa. So the Rabbein and Tam introduced the minig. You should waste a little time in between the eris and the nisuin by reading the ksuba. That's why it's not right. Some of the rabbis, you honor them with reading the ksuba under the chuppah, so they read it as fast as they can. The whole idea is to waste time, to pause. You're supposed to read slowly. I remember years ago, Rabbi Lezer Silver would show up at a wedding, so he would give a dramatic presentation when he would be reading the ksuba. He would read very slowly, and if he would hear people were talking, he would stop. He would start all over again from the beginning. Everybody has to listen. He would waste time. The whole idea of reading the ksuba is to waste time. Or if the rabbi wants to give a sermon, or the chazan wants to sing something, so the best time to waste time is over there. That's when the sermon should be, in between the es and the nisun. That's why the Rabbi Natan introduced the kriyas haksuba, to have a hafsoket, for two reasons. Number one, to have a carryover from what used to be bizman ha-tanach, bizman ha-gemara, that there was a long pause in between the es and nisun, so now it's a short pause, 5-10 minutes. And number two, it's an issue with the borei pri hagafen. Our meaning is that we say Bor Piagofen over a cup of wine for the Eris, and then you say Bor Piagofen over the cup of wine for Nisuin. So the question is, what is he saying Bor Piagofen? He just said 2 minutes ago Bor Piagofen. What is he saying another Bor Piagofen for? So it looks funny. So the real answer is that that's what the Ashkenazim do on Pesach night. We say Bor Piagofen not only on the first cup of wine and on the third cup of wine is after the benching. So of course you have to say Bor Piagofen. The benching is a hesach adas for meetings, so you have to say. But Ashkenazim say the Bor Piagofen on the third, on the second course, and on the fourth course as well. Why? Because we follow that opinion in the Rishonim. Every koshal bracha needs a Bor Piagofen. So the koshal nisuin is koshal bracha, so you need Bor Piagofen. So according to the Ashkenazim, it's not so bad. According to the Svaradim, it's a major problem. Why do they say they don't say Bor Piagofen on the second cup of wine? Leila said, even though it is a bracha lakos, they're saying Asher Yolano, they don't say Bor Piagofen on the fourth cup of wine, even though there is a bracha lakos, Bichos Hashir, because the Bor Piagofen was just recited a few minutes before, there is no Hesach Hadam. So by the Sfaradim, it's a bigger problem. So the Rabbi Natan introduced the Kriyas HaKsuba, that it should look a little better. But strictly speaking, the answer is that it's like Leil Pesach, that you say Bor Piagofen on the second course, and on the fourth course, even though you really don't need it. Yeah, usually when you recite the bracha ala kos, you have to hamavarch tzoch sheyitam. Someone has to take a little sip. Hamash of a sip. So the Gemara says you have to drink maloy lugmov. Maloy lugmov by an odem beinani is a rev revius. Yeah, I remember at my wedding, Rav Moshe Feinstein told me that the koshal erisin is only a minik hagoinim. It doesn't really say in the Gemara, so you don't have to really be so medactic to drink a maloy lugmov from that. You can have a sip. But he said the koshal nisuin, that's medina de gemara. Many assumed that was bismana gemara, that was like kiddush and avdala, was a bracha lakos. So the same thing, bichas nisuin was a bracha lakos. So if that's really a bracha lakos, then you have to drink maloy lugmav. So that the koshel nisun, you have to be makbet to drink some more. In Shulchan Aruch Nechlos Kiddush, the Mechaber quotes the Machlokes HaRishonim. What if I said Kiddush, and I have a husband and a wife and 9 children, and each one takes a little sip of the wine, so no one person drank maloy lugmav, but altogether we finished the whole cup of wine. We finished the maloy lugmav. Is that acceptable? Can you mean mitzar maloy lugmav for 2 different people? So some are mekel on that. Some are mekel on that. Different opinions. So that's usually what we make. The chosin takes a little sip, the kal takes a little sip from the kos nisuin, and together they drank a maloy lugmav. That's a question whether that's mitzvah. So if one person will drink maloy lugmav, let's say the chosin will drink maloy lugmav under the chuppah from the koshon nisuin, then there's going to be a shaila in the bracha achrayna, because Tosus is not sure how much wine do you have to drink in order to say ala gefen. Is it enough kezayis, or do you have to have revias? The Rambam says revias, or is it maloy lugmav? Tosis raises a possibility. Maybe the shiur for bracha achrayna is maloy lugmav. 3 possibilities. So Shulchan Aruch says, if you're drinking wine, you should drink either less than a kazaisa or more than a revias. Shouldn't drink in between. In between is going to be already a machloikas. So how can the chasen drink, let's say, a maloy lugmav under the chuppah, a rev revias? What's he going to do with bracha achrayna? So I think what some rely on is that when they go to the yichud room, so they leave some cookies there for the chosin kalam. Sometimes they're starving because they were fasting the whole day. So they have some cookies, and when they say ala michya, so they add on a line also, ala gefen, rapi ala gefen, on the wine that they drank. Even though Shari Tshuva next to the Behetev writes that if you had a vaday shir for mezainis and a suffix shir for wine, so you don't add on ala gefen, rapi ala gefen, but Reb Moshe and others disagree with that chido, and they hold the Shari Tshuva quotes from the Chido, you should not add on. But others disagree. What's he not saying? An extra bracha, just adding on another line. You're saying ala michi anyway, because of the cookies that you had.
Ready?
Yeah. I don't think so. If you drink Kiddush before the meal, so since Kiddush has to be b'makom suda, even if you don't drink, more correctly, you should drink some wine in the meal too. But even if you didn't drink wine in the meal, since the Kiddush relates to the meal, because Kiddush has to be makom suda, so the Birchas HaMazon covers the yayin. But on the weekdays, when there's no such halacha, if you just had a drink of wine before, and you're not going to have wine in the meal, and it's usually a long pause, the photographers take a lot of time in between the drinking of the wine under the chuppah and the Birchas HaMazon, in the beginning of eating the meal, you're going to have the first dance in between. It's going to take over an hour. So it's highly questionable if the bar piagofen, if the wine that you drank onto the chuppah will be covered with the birchas hamazon, probably will not be covered with the birchas hamazon.
Rabbi, once more, with the yain, let's go back. Zman chazal, I have yain with neya suuda. So, but they're having wine during the meal, so then that covers it.
Right.
So here they're having the wine, but they won't have wine during the meal. Right?
Probably not going to have on Shabbos and Yom Tov. More correct is you should have wine in the middle of the meal also. But on the weekdays, you're just going to have wine before. They're not going to drink wine in the middle. And there's no halacha that you need drinking wine before the meal. So the pashta says you need a separate bracha achrayna on the wine. There are more quotes in minig that people should get married tachas kippas harakia. The meaning applies when a young couple is getting married and they want to invoke the blessing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Avraham Avinu v'yotzi os ha'chutzo and Svarak Kochavim Tuchalis Baroisim Kol Yezarecho. If a woman is getting married in a second marriage, she's an almana, a grusha, whatever, she's 65 years old. She's not expecting to have any more children, so you get married inside, you don't have to get married outside. Get married tachas kippas harakia. What if it's snowing outside? What if it's freezing, snowing? So the Achrayim say, yeah, you should get married outside, but you shouldn't make a chil Hashem. Doesn't mean you shouldn't make a chil Hashem. You shouldn't do something stupid. If it's snowing outside, so you get married inside. I remember when Rabbi Perlo used to be here in the neighborhood, the one who's running the Aguda now. So when his daughter got married, so I think they got married in Williamsburg, and they got married outside, and it was raining or snowing, I forgot. And the chuppah was purple, and the water was collecting on top, and the purple dye was dripping on the kala's white gown. And the people that go in, hanging out the window and laughing at the crazy Jews, they get married in the snow, outside in the rain. Or sometimes even if there's no snow, there's no rain, but it's freezing outside. So the Achrayim say, you shouldn't make Hichel Hashem, shouldn't do something stupid. Yes, getting married in shul, there were minhagim years ago. The Ramah quotes it, and Rishonim have it. There was a minhag that they would get married in the shul, but later that minhag fell into disuse, and then the Reform reintroduced it, because by the Christians, marriage is one of the seven sacraments, and they get married dafke in the church. So they wanted to imitate everything from the Catholics. So they reintroduced that you should get married in the shul, dumi it to the Catholics, they get married in the synagogue. So that's when the Chassam Sofer and the Talmid Chassam Sofer were fighting Reform. So they said, you're never allowed to get married in the shul. Never allowed to get married. So that's why we avoid getting married in the shul. Rabbi Soloveitchik thought, they said you shouldn't get married in the shul because of Chukas Hakam, because we're imitating the Catholics. They do it as a religious issue. So we shouldn't imitate their ways. Rabbi Soloveitchik thought that it's a violation of Kavod Beis HaKnesses. He thought that you're not allowed to use a shul for any other purpose other than davening and learning. And the fact that we perform a bris in shul is a kulut. That's a leniency. It's a tircha, it's a tzorche rabin. The Gemara says if you have a big funeral, a big hesped, and there's so many people, that we don't have a room in the city big enough. They didn't have any funeral homes in the days of the Gemara. So you need a big room to house all the people, because a lot of people are going to show up to the funeral. The Gemara says tzorche rabin, you're allowed to have the hespedim in the shul. So Rabbi Soloveitchik thought that the fact that we perform a bris and shul after shachris, that's a leniency, that you really shouldn't be allowed to use the shul for a bris, but you're going to be matriarch. All the people who daven shachris, they should go somewhere else to have the bris. So we're makel, but let's say you're going to have the bris in the afternoon, not after davening shachris. So don't have it in shul. He thought it's not proper to have the bris in shul. Some people have the practice, they dafke go out of their way to dafke have the bris in shul, even if it's in the afternoon. Rabbi Soloveitchik thought that it's not proper. So he thought that it's not proper to have a wedding in a shul either. He didn't want to hurt people's feelings. So if they didn't ask him and they scheduled a wedding in a shul, so if it was a person that he wasn't mechuyev to go to the wedding, so he would avoid it. He would give some kind of a teretz. He didn't want to hurt their feelings. If it was a person who was meshubah, he was meshubah to go to the wedding, he would go and he wouldn't say anything. But to the students, he said that it's not really right to have a wedding in a shul. The Pnei Yeshua in the beginning of the first parak in Ksubis raises an issue in the Kunch V'Zachre. Pnei Yeshua has Chidushim on the Mesichta. Then at the end, he reviewed with the Talmidim, he did Chazor, and he added additional Eoris. So in the Kunch V'Zachre, he raises the issue that the Gemara says, I can recite Kiddush for you, even though I was already Yotze Kiddush. I can say Yotze Moitze, I can say Kiddush for you. And I can even say the Bor Piagofen of the Kiddush for you, even though I'm not drinking any wine now. Because just like Yotza Moitzi on the Birchas HaKiddush, Kol Yisrael HaRem Zeh B'Zeh, the same is true regarding the Bor Piagofen on the Koshal Kiddush. So the Pnei Yeshua assumes this is probably so with respect to the Koshal Nisuin. That seems to be Medina de Gemara, that's a Brocha Ala Kos. Then in the days of Gemara, they probably said Birchas Nisuin on the Kos Yain. But Birchas Erisin, Mikra Din, is not really a Brocha Ala Kos. It's not really a bracha ala kos. It's a minig that the Goyim introduced, that you should recite Birchas Harrison over a cup of wine. So how do you have the right to say Yotza Moitzi, I'm going to say Bar Piagofen and Birchas Harrison, and you're going to drink the wine? I'm not even drinking. If I'm drinking and you're drinking with me, that's one thing. But I'm not drinking at all. So the issue raises the issue. So Rab Chaim is quoted, there's a Sefer Afik Eyam, it was written by one of the Rabbonim after the First World War. Oh, he quotes Rab Chaim Soloveitchik, he quotes different Gedolim in his Sefer. So he quotes that Rab Simcha Zelig, who was the Dayan in Brisk by Rab Chaim Soloveitchik, told him that Rab Chaim was concerned about this Kasha of the Pnei Yeshua. How can he be Yetzi the person? With the Bar Piagofen of Kiddush by Birchas Harrison, Birchas Nisuin, there never was an issue. Birchas Harrison is the problem. So he says, Rab Chaim would always be careful to spill a little bit of wine on his finger. And then when he gave the cup of wine to the Chasam Kalish to drink, he would lick a little bit of wine. So he said the Bar Piagofen for himself and for the Chasam Kalish. That was his practice. But he did it in such a way that it should be inconspicuous and no one would notice. So you're right, the Rab Velvela Soloveitchik did not have that practice, to take a sip of the wine, because he never saw his father drink any of the wine. Rab Simcha Zelig said Rab Chaim did it in an inconspicuous fashion. Didn't want people to notice. So that's Rab Velvela never noticed. Rab Soloveitchik never used to lick his finger. He never he didn't feel that there was a problem. There's a tshuva. There was a tshuva sefer written by one of the alumni of Balazhin Yeshiva, Rabbi Yossel Slutsky. He was the rabbi in Slutsk. His name was Paimer, Rabbi Yossel, Yosef Paimer. He was on the board of directors of, he was one of the alumni on the board of directors of Balazhin. They had alumni on the board of directors. So when there was a machlekes in the yeshiva, who should be the Rosh Yeshiva, the machlekes, whether it was right, that the Netziv appointed Rab Chaim, Rab Chaim Soloveitchik, married the granddaughter of the Netziv. So they said that he wasn't roy to give a shiur in the yeshiva, and it was only nepotism that the Netziv appointed him to give a shiur in the yeshiva. So the board had to make a decision. So Rab Chaim had to say shiur, and the board was there to listen to the shiur, to decide whether he's roy to say shiur or not. So he was on the board. Rabbi Yossel Slutsky, Rabbi Yosef Paimer was on the board. So he had a collection of tshuvas that was never printed generation after generation. They always planned to print it. They never printed it for some reason or another. And Mechon Yerushalayim is Zeicher around 40 years ago to print it. So he has a tshuva about this, that someone sent him, one of the rabbanim sent him a letter that the Pnei Yeshua said that it's not proper, that the rabbi says, Bar Piagofen, to be Mboitzi the Chosen Kala, and he doesn't drink the wine. So he writes, I beg your pardon, Pnei Yeshua never said that. Pnei Yeshua asked the Kasha, how can you do it? And the answer is, because once the Goyim instituted that you treat it like a Brocha Lakos, so it's the same as Kiddush, that you can't say the Bar Piagofen to be Moitzi the other person. Yeah, but in Birchas Nisuin there never was a problem, that for sure. But Birchas Nisuin it was always Alakos, that's the same as Kiddush and Avdolah, that we assume you could be Moitzi somebody else. The whole Shaila only was on the Birchas Erisin. In Shulchan Aruch they quote that the Seder of the Brochas of the seven Brochas not Miyakev. So now it's a common practice that they machabe different rabbanim to say the different brachas. So sometimes the rabbi says the wrong bracha, they say out of order. So they quote the Behetu, quotes the Tshuva Sarim, that the Seder is not Miyakev. And the next rabbi can say the bracha that the first one left out. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein has a Tshuva that there are two brachas that are identical, Yotzer HaOdom. So first you say the short version, Yotzer HaOdom. Then you say, Yotzer HaOdom Tzalmai, Psalm Mustaf Nisa, and you end off Yotzer HaOdom. Rav Moshe thinks that, those two brachas, if you first said the long version, then it's too late to say the short version. The short version is included in the long version. Like in Birchas HaShachar, it says in Shulchan Aruch that some of the brachas, if you say them out of order, some of the earlier brachas will be included in the later brachas. So that's what Rav Moshe says over here. Rav Soloveitchik was not so convinced that that is the case. He thought that even Yotzer HaOdom, Moshe Yotzer HaOdom Tzalmo, can also be recited in the opposite order. Other Magen Avraham wrote on Orach Chaim. He didn't write on Eben Ezra, but in Orach Chaim it says that when you want to eat food, you have to recite a bracha soon before. You shouldn't say Motzi Lech Menorz, then wait 5 minutes until you get the bread. You should eat right away. You should say the bracha before. Same thing, a Birchas HaMetzah should be recited Oyvel Asiyosam. Why does the Gemara say Oyvah and the Gemara say Koidim? Oyvah has the connotation of immediately before. You shouldn't pause in between the Birchas HaMitzvah and the Mitzvah. So the Birchas Nis, so the Magen Avraham writes that the Birchas Nisuin, the Beis Yosef quotes this, the Birchas Nisuin is not really a Birchas HaMitzvah, but it still he quotes from the Balavita that it should be recited Oyvah L'Asiyosim immediately prior to doing the Nisuin. So we assume either standing under the canopy constitutes a nisuin, or standing under the talus, those who have the practice to put on the talus, or going to the yichud room. So the Magen Avraham quotes a tshuva from Rabbi Mizrahi that the chasen kala shouldn't dilly-dally. They should go to the yichud room right away after the conclusion of the sheva brachas. That's the lashon that it says in Maharil also. Meritza misal chasen misal kala lechedr ha-yichud. You rush the chasen kala to the yichud room right after the Shabbat Brachas Arab, because b'choshesh for the Rambam's opinion that the Nisuin is the Yichud, so you should go to the Yichud right away. Usually everybody's kissing each other and everybody's wishing Mazel Tov, wasting a lot of time. That's not really right. They should go as quickly as possible to the Yichud room. Really, the Birchas Erisin, we are choshesh l'chatchila for the Rambam's opinion. Birchas Erisin is a Birchas HaMitzvah. So it should be recited Oyvel Asiyosim immediately before the chasen gives the ring. So many rabbanim don't do like that. They say the Birchas Erisin, then they have them call up who are the two edim, then they start saying, did you buy the ring with your own money? They show the ring to the Eidim, they say the ring Shavu'i Pruta. This should all be done before the rabbi says the Birchas Eirusin. So that the Birchas Eirusin should be recited immediately before the chosan says Hariyat. Then the Gemara says the Hariyat should be recited before you give the ring. And the old Madrich, there's a little booklet that the rabbis always used to use, shows you how to do a chasana, how to do an unveiling, how to do a funeral, and so on. So it says that they have a mistake in the old Madrich. I think they probably corrected it in the new edition. The old Madrich that was around for 60 years, so it says the chosan gives the ring to the kala, and then he says, Hariyat Mekudeshesli. That's against the Gemara. Chosan's supposed to first say, Hariyat Mekudeshesli, and then he gives the ring. Otherwise, it's going to be a shayla of shtika lacha matan moes. The Gemara has a suffix. Yeah. Strictly speaking, by us, it really doesn't shouldn't be a problem of shtika lacha matan moes. It's a suffix in the Gemara. When the boy says Hariyat Mekudeshesli, and he gives the girl a ring, so she shows sekes. So her shtika is taken as a haskama. Shaila is, what if he first gives her the ring? Then he says Hariyat Mekudeshesli, where the shtika after matan moes is also an indication of her agreement. Today they send out invitations in advance. The girl's wearing a gown, the boy's wearing a tuxedo, whatever. Obviously it's the chosan kala. Obviously they get meshes. Obviously they want to get married. So the whole Amiras Hariyat Mekudeshes is not miyakim. Somebody was telling over a story here recently on the Lava Malka in Broyers this week, that Rav Moshe was once at a wedding and they weren't mechabed him to be Mesadik Kiddushin, they were mechabed someone else instead. And then he didn't say boo. And then he was there, and then when the chosan kala went into the yichurim, he knocked on the door, and he told them, I was paying attention under the chuppah, the chosan forgot to say the word li, so make sure that you have to aid him, and you give the ring again to the girl and say, Hariyat Mekudeshesli. The pashto says the word li is not miyakeh, the whole amira, Hariyat Mekudesh, not miyakeh. They sent out invitation, they marched down the aisle, the girl walked around seven times, so it's, of course she wants to get married to him. The whole amira is not miyakeh, that's called asukam bosu inyan. If everybody knows that they want to get married, so the whole Amira is not miyakev. But the minig is, we still do the same as in the days of the Gemara. So first say Hariyat Mekudeshesli before you give the ring. So it'll be shtika. The shtika will be before the matan moes. How long do you have to have yichud in the yichud room? So Rabbi Soloveitchik always used to insist 8 minutes. He used to have a deen here in the yeshiva, Deen Zar. He had learned in Telz, he was a Telzer. He always used to joke about that. Why? How long does it take Rabbi Soloveitchik to cook a hard-boiled egg? The Gemara says the Yichud, in the beginning of Saita says that the Yichud is the amount of time that it would take to cook a hard-boiled egg. So what takes him 8 minutes to cook a hard-boiled egg? Okay. That's a question. How long do you have to have Yichud in the Yichud room? There's a new practice that came up in recent years that the Gemara in Gittin, every 10 blot, raises the Machlekes, raises the Yisha Machlekes on Me'er Rav Lozer, with the Eidim Mesira Karasi, or Eidim Chasima Karasi. When you give a Shtar Kinyan, when you give a get, that's a Shtar Kinyan. So is it crucial to have Eidim Mesira at the time you give over the Shtar, or is it necessary to have Eidim Chasima sign? So we pask an Eidim Mesira Karasi. You have to have Eidim Mesira. You don't have to have Eidim Chasima. So there's a new mini came up in recent years, the last 40 years, I guess, that when the chosan gives the kala, the ksuba under the chuppah, you call the edim, that the edim who are watching when he said hariyat should watch when he gives over the shtar. A pashto says that this is a mistake, it doesn't make any sense at all. Edim Sira Karsi is only, number one, is only relevant if it's a shtar kinyan. Ksuba is not a shtar kinyan, it's a shtar rai, Everybody agrees the edim chasima karsi. You don't need edim Sira when you give over a shtar kinyan, that's number one. Number two, even if the ksuba would have been a shtar kinyan, but it's a shtar in Dedim Ominous. It's a shtar in Tosefes ksuba. And we, in Shulchan Aruch, it says beferish, that people who introduce the chumah don't learn Shulchan Aruch. It says beferish in the Shulchan Aruch that even though we paskin Eidim Mesira are necessary for a get, but in Shtar Imamin, you don't even need, you need neither Eidim Mesira nor Eidim Chasim. You need neither. Because Hardoz Balin is good, so you don't need either. That's a direct quotation from the Rambam on Hilchas Mechir, that the no Eidim Chasim and no Eidim Mesir in Shtar Imamin, you don't need Eidim Mesir. Yeah, they say that Rav Moshe Feinstein once saw Rav Shneur Kotler was Mesadik Kiddushin. I think that's how the story goes. Just a minute. No. Rav Shneur Kotler was once at a wedding, and Rav Moshe Feinstein insisted on having Eidim watch when you give over the ksuba. So Reb Shneur Kotler didn't understand, it didn't make any sense. After the chuppah, he asked him, why did he do that? So he said, I don't know, it doesn't make any sense to me, but he wants our Baron Kotler to do it. So he assumed he must have had a good reason. He saw his father do it also, Reb Shneur Kotler, so he didn't understand why. It really doesn't make any sense. There is an issue, there is a Mishnah in the first perek in Makkos. There's a din of three or more witnesses come to the Bez and they give testimony, and it turns out that one of them was a Korev or apostle. Apostle means a Rasha. So not only can you not accept the testimony of the Korev or the apostle, even the testimony of the other two is also no good. That's called Nimtzech and Mehen, Korev apostle, Eidus Kul Metein. It's learned out from a pasuk. So Tosis raises the question, Hech Matzini Yidein Raglenu? There were all these relatives standing around under the chuppah. So how is it good? Don't you have Korah apostle? And you need Eidus Likimadova. So shouldn't it passel the Eidim share? So Tosis answers, that's the official answer, that's how we paskin. The Korah apostle only applies if it's an Eid Hameid. If three or four witnesses testified in court, they gave Hagodas Eidus, Eid Hameid. But it was only Eid Haroya, they were watching. Even though there were psulim watching, that doesn't pose a problem of korav apostle. That's what Tosis answers. The Ritva is bothered. The Ritva quotes Rabbi Yisof, his Rabbeim, who are bothered with a problem. They said, Tosis is usually right, but by kiddushin, it shouldn't be correct because by kiddushin, the need for edus lekiyam adover is lekiyam adover. So they are accomplishing something. In the case of Dini Mominus, let's say a halvot took place, a hezek took place, Piron Achoiv, something happened, and you have three witnesses watching, and one is apostle. So you don't say Karav apostle, but just because it's an Eid Haroyev. Because the Eidim, when they watch, don't accomplish anything. But by Kiddushin, the Eidim accomplished by watching. So because the Eidim Lekim Adavar, that's exactly what it is. So since it's Eid Lekim Adavar, so the Ritva says you should say Karav apostle, even by Eid Haroyev. So therefore, the Ritva says the way to solve the problem is to be miyachad edim. That's how the Gemara says. If the two kosher edim have in mind that we don't want to be mitzdarif with the others, we want to constitute a separate cut, we don't want to be mitzdarif with the edim psulim, so then there's no din of korban pasul. So that's the chumra that the Shach quotes that Ritva. And he recommends, Shach nechosh mishpun, he recommends by chasana he should be miyachad edim. So that's what we usually do. Question is, what if he won Miyach Deim, said Rabbi Soloveitchik. For many years, Rabbi Soloveitchik was a European. He didn't speak English like an American. So he formulated a nusach to say that the chassan tells the Edom, I want you to serve as edus for the kiddushin to the exclusion of all others. So what he meant by that clearly was to the exclusion of all others, you should exclude yourself from the others. You should not mimic starf. It doesn't mean to the exclusion of all the others are no good. There is no such thing. Rabbi Mordechai Tendler published a Hebrew sefer where he has discussions that he had with his grandfather on different things. People came and asked Shilas. So he writes that Rabbi Moshe Feinstein asked him about this lotion. What did Rabbi Soloveitchik say? What meant to exclude? You can't exclude the others from serving as Eidim. There is no such thing. So the pashtus is, I don't think Rabbi Soloveitchik meant that. What he meant was, these two kosher edim should have in mind, we want to be separate from the others, we don't want to be mitzdarf with the psulim. That's what it says in the Gemara. There was once a situation, I was an aid by a friend of mine got married, I was one of the edim, and I didn't know who the other aid was. So when I sat down to eat by the meal, so I said, Shalom Aleichem, I'm a chavrus of the chosn, who are you? So he says, he's a first cousin of the chosn. So I said, you can't be a first cousin, you're apostle of edis. He says, he's a first cousin? He doesn't know. He doesn't know kosher apostle. He's the first cousin of the chassan. He lives in Eretz Yisrael now, this guy. So I asked the chassan when he came in after the yich, I said, what, you pick your cousin? So he says, his cousin from the mother's side, kosher. So I said, no, not kosher. The Rambam says, relatives from the mother's side, apostle medivrei soifrim. And there's a long case of Mishnah discusses whether medivrei soifrim means Torah Shabbal Peh, means medirabbanan. It's not clear in the Rambam. Probably means Torah Shabbal Peh. So Rabbi Soloveitchik was not there at the wedding. Rabbi Grumblatt was in Sadek Kedushin. The boy, the chassan, came from Queens. So the chassan asked me to ask Rabbi Soloveitchik the next day what he should do. So Rabbi Soloveitchik said, I was one of the Eidim. I was not a relative. And the rabbi, he said, was the rabbi watching? He said, yeah, the rabbi was watching Kedushin also. So he said, he had two kosher Eidim. He said, the whole Ritva that you have to be Miyachad Eidim is only a Chumra. Then you don't need any Yichad Eidim. But it doesn't mean to the exclusion of all others. It doesn't mean that the others are excluded. The others are not excluded. We mentioned before there was an issue, maybe we'll close with this, there was an issue, who has the right to pick the Masada Kiddushin? Let's say the boy wants Rosh Hashiva to be Masada Kiddushin, the girl wants her Rosh HaKolela to be Masada Kiddushin. She learns in the Kolela and she wants her Rosh HaKolela to be Masada Kiddushin. Who has the right to pick Masada Kiddushin? So the truth of the matter is neither. There's a tshuva by Chelkas Yaakov, Rabbi Yankov Breish. I think the name of the tshuva is Chelkas Yaakov. So he says there's a fundamental machloikas, the Rambam and Tosis, what is the Birchas Erisin all about? So the Rambam's opinion is that it's a Birchas HaMitzvah and the Bracha should be recited by the Chassan. The only reason why the Chassan doesn't say Kedesh Olo Levaish, it's Mishen Yedeh, some of the Chassanim won't know how to say it, so they'll be embarrassed under the Chuppah. So we always have the Rabbi recite the Birchas Erisin on behalf of the Chassan. So the question is, does the bracha only relate to the chassan? It does relate to the chassan and the kallah. So that's a pischi tshuva, and Eben Ezer quotes in the Rebbe Yehuda has a suffix. What if the chassan is deaf? So the rabbi is going to say the bracha, the chassan can't hear a word, but the kallah is not deaf. So can the rabbi say the bracha on behalf of the kallah or not? Does the bracha only relate to the chassan? It does relate both to the chassan and the kallah. So that's on the assumption that the bracha is a birchas hamitzvah, the girl is not mechuyev in pirei v'rivya. So the girl's not mechuyev to get married either, but she is getting married. So does the bracha relate to the kala as well or not? That's it. The truth of the matter is we don't really follow the Rambam's opinion. We really follow, even though we say the bracha over las yosem, the Afikayam quotes another thing from Simcha Zelig. The question was that there used to be Masada Kiddushin for communists who didn't believe in God. They were atheists. So how can I say a bracha shekadoshan tzosavitzuan Hashem alakenu? He doesn't believe in God, doesn't believe in Torah and Hashemayim, doesn't believe in anything. How can I say a bracha on his behalf? So Rav Simcha Zelig says, Mikir Adin, we really hold like Tosfos, that it's a bichas hashevach. It's not a bracha that relates to the chosen dafka, the chosen, maybe the kala also. It's a bichas hashevach that should be recited by the people. So the bracha belongs to, so even if the chosen doesn't believe, he's an atheist, but you have a minyan of people, so the bracha should be recited by someone as representing the whole group. So the truth of the matter is that it shouldn't be, that's what the Chelkas Yaakov writes, it shouldn't be the right of the Chosen to pick the Masada Kiddushin, not his bracha, and it's not the Kala's bracha either. They should really pick the person. See, sometimes the Chosen wants his Rosh Hashiva. His Rosh Hashiva is a young guy. The boy comes from a community. The people in the community who are dancing at his wedding don't know who his Rosh Hashiva is. They know their rabbi, the local rabbi in the shul. Fine, as far as they're concerned, he's the biggest tamachal. They don't know who this young rabbi in the yeshiva. So really, the Birchas Erisin should be recited by the one whom the Rav HaTzibur would have chosen to say, because the bracha is recited not on behalf of the chosen, not on behalf of the chosen kav, it's recited on behalf of the whole tzibur who happens to be present. Okay. So we discussed everything except for picking the girl. Okay. So you got to work on that. Okay, tomorrow I'm scheduled to give a shiur downstairs on the second floor on Adat Lada Ksuba.